Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. And today I have with me, guess what? Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
Hello, fancy pants.
Oh, please do not start with me, woman. Do not start with me.
People on Twitter are really championing behind me when I told them that you were forcing me to rewatch, or I guess watch, Falling Sky season 3.
By the championing, you mean the rally of one. So far, the one person who is tweeting.
Well, her word has power, and that
I like how she didn't even try to deny it. That was funny. It was just like her word has power, you can say all you want. All I am saying is, and the only thing I have always said is, you are the sci-fi maven. People look to you.
Tells me that.
Look to you to say, what is, should I be watching this mess or not? And so on the sci-fi party line, imagine the shock that people are expecting that maybe you'll watch some sci-fi. We are going to give it another shot. That's all. Just one more. Not a lot.
But why would you want to do that? You were like the main person.
Well, because like we were talking about in the last cast, sometimes shows get better. They start a little rickety, a little shaky, and then something happens. They get their footing, the stuff starts to come together, and the show gets better.
But you realize you have unrealistic hope, don't you? Like, you're so positive.
It's
and
been
it's
on,
just a beautiful thing for you, and I'm really proud of you.
It's been on for 3 seasons now. How wrong could it be that a show is on for 3 seasons?
It's in its 4th season now.
4 seasons. How bad? The show's got to be getting better.
Were you just going to say, how bad could it be? Were you just going to say that?
Right. Because it's been on for 4 seasons now. It must be doing something right.
Wow.
I mean, because think about it this way. A show as great as Almost Human, canceled in just 1 season. So clearly, if a show was on 4 times as long, it's got to be good. It got to be doing something right. So we are going to check it out.
While we're not going to talk about Falling Skies, and you guys kind of got dropped in the middle of that conversation, we will be watching it. So if you see angry, barely contained rage tweets from me, you'll know why. It's this man's fault. He doesn't care about my mental health.
We are doing this for the listeners. So they don't have to.
Okay. Whatever. You watch an I, Frankenstein, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about Under the Dome and The Last Ship. We're going to start with Under the Dome. You should see me right now. I'm waving my hands around because there's like a gnat or something, and it's really annoying. Okay, sorry.
I thought that was your enthusiasm for Under the Dome.
No, it's not. It was crazy talk there. So Under the Dome. If you guys remember, I don't know, a few episodes back, we had an epic argument, Carl and I, about Under the Dome, in which he said that when he watched it, felt like a typical Stephen King TV show.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the argument was. That is true. And?
And, like, he said we didn't talk about it, and I thought we did. And then he was like, when did we mention Julia Shumway? When did we mention Dale Barbie? And I was like, oh. And so...
yes?
So...
I'm very curious as to what is coming next.
That's it.
Oh, okay.
No. Well, so we're gonna. He, for some reason did not enjoy Under the Dome as much as I did. I thought and still think it's a decent show and it has its little thing about it and it's better than some things that's out right now. Dominion. So
High praise. It's better than some stuff out now. That is the best.
I mean, it's interesting. So we're going to talk about it today, and we're going to actually mention characters by name so as to please Carl, so he won't call me up and talk about how we're not doing a good job on the show because we're not talking about the characters and make me do it again.
I'm just letting this go because we are all about the show today. We are staying on task.
Yes, because you know I'm right, son.
Oh, y'all see my restraint. Y'all see the master of patience that I am. Please, let's go on with Under the Dome.
So Under the Dome, last time we left Under the Dome, we were, somebody was in a noose. Dale Barbie was in a noose. Junior had his hand on the wooden crank. Big Jim was saying, do it. The dome had gone dark. Julia Shumway was at the lake in a boat with a alien purple glowy pink egg. There were pink stars and they were falling. And we were stuck under this dome with the sliced cow in half. And scene. That's where we left. So we return, all of a sudden it's daytime. Junior's hair has grown a little. Dale Barbie is still inside of the noose. He's begging for his life. It's daytime. The egg was dropped. A guy who's fired from CSI New York is now on Under the Dome, out in the cabin. We've never seen him before, but he is Junior's uncle. That's been holed up in a cabin somewhere.
Because the dome is so big, you can't see that someone might be on the edge of the dome.
Yeah, but he's been to himself because he's an alcoholic EMT. So we're going to get to him later. Julia still has the bullet wound gash that with the Band-Aid. It's still bleeding. She drops the egg in the water. The egg apparently turns into a girl. Nobody's put this together that maybe the egg and the girl is the same. The girl goes back to the cabin from CSI New York guy. He flips through a book. Her face is in the book. We don't know what that means. I mean, there's just so much stuff going on, Carl. We're going to get to a lot of that, but I just want to deal with, like, where we were dropped into the story.
You got it. That is a fabulous synopsis. I agree. Yes. Yes. When the episode started, was it just you, or did it feel like we had missed something? When it started, I was hitting rewind on my on-demand because I felt like you said, it seemed like it was night before. Now it was day. Mm-hmm. The incident out of the boat seemed like there was more going on there. I felt like I had missed something, but maybe that was just me.
Well, I think that they didn't think that they were going to get another season. They didn't know how to pick up after that. And so they scrambled to try to put some shit together. And it kind of was jarring. But by the end of the episode, it kind of came together in the way Under the Dome comes together.
And you weren't sure if they were going to come back for another season and that there were some changes going on. One, yes, your CSI guy showed up. But something else happened in this episode that I was rather disappointed, significantly disappointed with.
I was disappointed too.
How are you going to kill off the sheriff?
Sheriff Linda Esquivel.
That, now, honestly, she was the reason I was watching the show. I thought she was very interesting.
They replaced her with the teacher that you might like.
Oh, wait, so you mean another person that we have not seen before who was happened to be a townsperson under the dome?
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that. The teacher's great and all, but
She's weird to me. I don't like her. I'm ready for her to die.
there was an unceremonious dismissal of the sheriff that I thought was not so great.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, sort of like, hey, why don't you go and unhook that guy off the big magnetic wall and let's see what happens. We're going to stand over here and just watch. And with not a lot of drama, not a lot of fanfare, the only goodbye we got, somebody putting hands on her eyes, she was just mashed. She'd been 20 episodes. She'd been there from the beginning, and it's kind of like, peace, and here's your replacement.
Yeah. Did you notice that of all the metallic things that Big Jim's watch didn't go to the wall?
Oh, I'm not even going to get started.
Did you do
on
that?
The,
did you see?
And then when the magnetic house,
when like the stove was getting pulled forward and all the children and they were getting the mom from the house that they had on all this metallic jewelry and watches and like none of that got ripped out of their ears to go to the dome. And,
well, you going, I mean, you picking the hard stuff. They're in a kitchen. The knives, everything else is flying past them because of the strong, strong magnetic field. But what was it? Oh yeah, when the guy showed up, what's his name? And what's her name? When they show up, they're going, guys, come this way. Now, it has already been established that the magnetic field is so strong, it's pulling stoves and refrigerators down, right?
Yeah.
They just kind of push the gate, the little metal thing out of the way, and the kids come stepping through
that. They tried really hard, though. It was really hard for them to push it out of the way.
Pull the nail through the guy's hand.
Yeah, but the earrings just didn't come out of her. Maybe the earrings were made out of aluminium or plastic or something. I don't know.
Plastic, maybe.
Aluminium? Watch parts. I don't know.
I don't know. So, with the magnetic field. And, of course, the dramatic implosion of the home timed just right. Because, after all, a home has got that much, especially an old, old 1910, 1920s farmhouse, is bristling with all of that metal in it. So it's going to implode like the house in the Poltergeist. It's going to happen.
It didn't implode. It exploded.
It kind of crumbled and dragged.
Yeah.
Crumbled, dragged.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna look. I am gonna let it go. I'm not even gonna talk about the magnetic field.
Bothered me.
It's hard to do magnetic fields right.
But that was something like they pulled the nail through her hand. That was a nice piece, but it was ruined by leaving earrings in people's ears and watch. Like they could have just took the watches off for this scene and like maybe put them on next time. And I wouldn't have even like whatever, but I'm like, somebody's watch got to fly off. Whose watch is going to fly off? The watch needs to.
They're in the kitchen. There was plenty of other metal stuff that just kind of was sitting around.
Yeah.
Moving, but
yeah,
it's all right. Okay.
So we're not gonna do science.
No science.
That's not
what the dome is about. The dome is not about science.
Oh yeah. Okay. So you know, just little nitpick there. So this episode was about the redemption of Big Jim, maybe. Having a sacrifice or something.
Well, I don't know. It was so subtle. It's hard for me to figure out if that is exactly what was going on, given the ghost of Christmas past that came to warn him of his ill deeds, the complete response of the dome, because clearly it wasn't the multi-generator magnetic counterfield that was being set up in the... At the clock tower that was going on there. I don't know what they thought they were going to achieve. I don't care what teacher you got. Stringing together a couple horsepower generators fighting against a magnetic field that's dragging cars across the town. I don't think that's really going to do it. I don't think that's got the power that you need.
It looked big and like it had it.
The antenna, but not the gas generators that were along.
It had a lot of wires.
Oh, well, true. It did have a lot of wires. Very sciencey.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was something, wasn't it? So apparently, because humans have metallic elements in our bodies, we were passing out under the dome.
Well, supposedly, and this is actually scientific, that if you bombard the human brain with a strong enough magnetic field, it can cause seizures and unconsciousness.
Wait a
So,
minute, wait a minute. So they did research on that, but they could not take the earrings and the watches off of the actors.
I'm thinking they just got lucky on them. I'm not saying that they did the scientific research. I'm thinking they were like, oh, what do we do? I just have everyone unnecessary blackout. Because you see, there are some folks that were wandering around just fine. Only certain people blacked out. All the folks that we don't really need for this episode, just lay down for this one. Just lay down in the field, and we'll be back at the end of this episode.
Yeah, and then like Shumway and Barbie, they were just walking around.
Of course, they're special.
But Junior and the other girls or whatever, they're the ones who put hands on the baby dome
Yes, that's right.
and they passed out. So how are they not?
Because they're the other special. You see, we got different kinds of special. You got your evil special, you got your hero special, and then you got your alien special. So you got to try to figure out who's who given the certain electromagnetic field that's available.
You sound like a crazy person.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay. So Big Jim was visited by Ghost of Christmas Past. What's her face just died, the sheriff. She came back to tell him he needed to put his neck in the noose and kill himself. We had the DJ girl, the nerdy DJ girl, come back.
Dodie.
Dodie, yes, she came back, which was creepy, and she warned Big Jim, and he was going to sacrifice himself, but before all this happened, we have CSI New York guy in the cabin that we've never seen before hand Julius Shumway Chekhov's knife and, randomly. And
What are you talking about? You thought that perhaps that was a bit too convenient? That just spontaneously, a person that we've never seen before at the beginning of an episode, which will end in the noose, if you strategically handed a pocket knife, you found that difficult to swallow? I don't know why. Listen, everything you need's under the dome. You just have to wait. You just have to wait.
Oh my God, you're cracking me up right now.
I'm just
Okay.
appreciating everything that makes the show so special.
Okay. Yeah. So she has the gun, I mean the knife. She like heroically cuts the rope in one swoop of the knife and saves Big Jim and everybody. The dome's magnetic cloud disperse and the magnetic field goes away and everybody wakes up.
Yeah. Is that you cutting a rope right now? What was that?
I'm scratching my head. I'm like, I don't know what.
Yeah, that definitely happened in the episode. I'm not sure. Okay, so yes, the very subtle redemption. Well, I'm not going to say redemption of Jim. Let's just say we're giving him a chance. We're giving him another chance. We know now that the dome is connected to the townspeople, not just the aliens, folks, but it's some sort of a moral arbiter now for what's going on in the town. Okay, great.
Maybe.
Well, it seems to have a strong connection with Jim all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, but then we see this random girl walking around who may be deaf, but maybe not, and maybe just weird, and maybe she's the egg, or maybe she's the personal representative of the dome, and she goes to the sheriff's body who's dead, who's not crushed, by the way.
No, she looked lovely.
Yeah.
Really. She was just like she was sleeping.
Yeah, and she said, rubs her head, says she's sorry, and does some magic hoo-hoo wave of the eyes, and her eyes are closed. But I'm like, well, if you can do all that, why can't you like bring her back to life?
Well, I don't think it was that magical. I think she just kind of closed her eyes. That was all.
Yeah, but she did a wave of the hand. She didn't actually touch her eyes. You can't just wave your hands Jedi style over a dead person's eyes, and you can't do that.
I have seen that happen so many times in shows that I can't tell if it was supposed to be bad continuity with their hand placement or if it was supposed to be magical. I've seen it so many times where it was supposed to have been contact, but they just did it because they didn't want to mess up the actor or actress's makeup. So I don't know if that was supposed to have actually been a magical wave or if that was supposed to have been closing her eyes. I'm not sure.
You just blew my mind.
I'm sorry.
You just really blew my mind.
I've seen it happen so many times.
Right now.
And often, I have the same reaction that you did. Oh, that was a magical one. But it'll be like in a Western. I'm like, nah, that couldn't be magic, Matt. I don't think that was some kind of ghost coming in the middle of this. So,
okay, fine. I'll give you that. However, we had another significant death, maybe, because Angie decided to follow Wandering Girl into like a high school, and the girl was staring at like maybe a locker or something.
Yes, yes.
And then Angie's like, hey, wait a minute, blah, blah. And then the girl runs away, and then Angie looks at the same locker, and then the girl comes back with like an axe and then chops someone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's a handprint on the locker, and then fade to black.
Right.
And the episode's done. So we don't know if we don't know what's like. Is there another what's happening? We don't know.
She could have just been making like cooking a pig out there or something. She just wanted to start a barbecue.
Are you mocking me?
And just broke out of that. The thing that I found a little disappointing is they showed previews for the next episode of Under the Dome right after that scene.
Yeah.
And the previews seemed to strongly imply what happened in that scene.
Oh, I missed the previews.
Okay, well, I will simply say that if you are going to end on what is supposed to be a cliffhanger, don't open with the previews of the next show pretty much telling you what just happened. That kind of takes away some of that mystery. But yeah, yes, we've got Axe Girl running around in the high school now. A ghost girl in a high school in a Stephen King story.
Oh.
That's something I haven't heard of before. That sounds really, really new.
Oh, speaking of Stephen King, did you see his cameo?
Oh, really? He was in it? I wasn't there.
Yeah, he was in the diner.
Oh, okay.
And he spoke to Angie. He was like, could you get me some coffee?
Yeah, okay.
It was like, oh my God, that's like what Stanley does.
That's great. That's great.
You didn't. Okay.
I may have been eating chips at the time.
Do you even watch the shows?
I do. I do. I do mostly. I think when Sheriff Bennett, I was very I kind of got sad at that point.
Oh, poor thing. Well, you know, they brought in another chick for you.
And yes, there is something creepy about the teacher. So I don't know what's going on there, but yes, I
think she has like an accent and she's trying not to, so it makes her speak funny, and it's not working for me.
Oh, you think that's it? I thought she was being suspicious, like she's got ulterior motives that we are unaware of.
No, I just think she's bizarre. But maybe, maybe, you know, whatever. So, we have this thing where when Junior blacked out, he got to talk to his mom.
True.
But we also see that his mom is off in, I don't know, maybe New York City, and she's painting the whole thing. And she may not know that she's his mom.
Here's what I took away from that scene. Because we know she's in New York and she's outside of the bubble, right?
Mm.
I was getting the feeling that she could sense what was going on in the town. She could sense either through his eyes or her psychic connection, but she could tell what was going on inside
of her. Now, is she supposed to be dead?
I don't know anymore. I don't know. That could have been from the past. Well, no, because she's watching the news. So I'm assuming she wasn't dead and that it is present time.
Right? I thought she had died, and that's why she wasn't in the town with them, and that's why Junior, you know, was crazy, and right. He envisioned her, and he's like, oh, you left me, and she's like, no, I never left you, because it feels like to me she's crazy, and she doesn't know who she is, and there's amnesia, and or, like, she's making the whole thing up, and she actually has, like, a snow globe in her house, and she's bringing, like, the town of Chesterfield to life by her drawings or something. Yikes, because they had the snow globe situation.
That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Although, that would end the entire series in about an episode and a half.
Well, you know, because I was thinking, well, is this some Once Upon a Time thing where nobody knows something or something weird? Like, what is really going on? Because it does look like a snow globe. And then they had a snow globe that was filled with blood. And
by the way, we're talking about predictable stuff. When Eve picked up that snow globe, I looked at that scene. I said, okay. Cue the slow-mo drop. I actually said it out loud, right? and I just waited, right? And then, like, right as that scene is happening, you see a woman walk by. I said, and that's his mom. And he turns, and now he's talking to his mom. It was like a freakish Jedi trick here. I was like, oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. I don't like that kind of, that level, that degree of predictability. Slow motion snow globe, cue the mom. It was just, I was very sad. I was very sad.
Well, I mean, it opened up a greater mystery, and now we have some contact outside of the dome. So, we'll get, like, some other characters involved.
Characters? I mean, there are so many under the dome that we can choose from already.
Well, like, who are all the people in the town who pass out? We don't know their stories.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying. You could just pop up.
Yeah.
Could have been drunk on the edge of the dome this whole time. No, teachers popping up. Scientists are walking around. Dude that can make a radio out of a coconut. He was under the dome. They were all there.
Oh, my God. We'll see what happens. I still enjoy the silliness of this show. I like the way they manufacture kind of like the intensity and the mystery. And I'm not insulted by it. It's fine for me. You sound a little angry that you have to watch it. But
I'm just waiting for something to happen. It's just not quite doing it for me, and if it's not quite doing it for me, but I'll give it a little longer. I'll give it a little longer. I'll keep watching.
Okay. All right. Well, so there's another show. Can we start on that one?
Let's do it.
Okay. So Carl and I was really sad because we had a really great show that we enjoyed a lot, and what was it called? It was called
Last Resort.
The Last Resort.
Last Resort, I enjoyed.
Oh,
yes.
And so I think we enjoyed Last Resort mainly because, you know, there was a lot of, there's the military and they're giving orders around and it feels like it's a starship. And, of course, we had, you know, great actors in it and it was just enjoyable to watch. And then, it got canceled.
Well, one of the things I really enjoyed about it was this crazy concept of having a military vehicle with all this power, all this authority, sort of being on its own, just out in the water by itself, and the crew on board had to depend on each other to be, you know, to keep everybody sane, to try to hold civilization together, do all that kind of stuff. It was a radical concept. I mean, granted, we had seen it before on Voyager, but generally, good sci-fi, we'd seen that before. It was fun to see that set in a military environment with modern military tech, as well as some of the interesting things. I really like the characters on Last Resort, and the villains that popped up really, really exciting. So that's why I liked it.
Yeah.
So when it was unceremoniously canceled, I still wounded from that as well as Almost Human.
Yeah. The wounds still
limping along from that. Then all of a sudden, this brand new idea for a show comes out with a naval destroyer out by itself in the ocean with military folks trying to.
But with one additional detail.
One detail. What's that detail?
There's a viral epic pandemic outbreak.
Oh, is that the detail that you were?
Yes!
I didn't think that was the detail that you wanted to discuss.
Oh.
I thought the detail that got you so very excited about The Last Ship is one Mr. Eric Dane. I thought that is why you were very, very excited about The Last Ship.
It's a global pandemic and they're out on the ship, so we get to see not only the things we liked about Last Resort, but we also get to see zombies. And or maybe zombies or something like that.
I haven't seen those zombies yet.
But at least a viral outbreak, and not only that, it feels like Last Resort, and that they're out on their own, and they're dealing with all this stuff. They got to go out on missions, but it feels it when you see Helix upon reflection, Helix kind of looks clumsy. It looks like what Helix should have been. And why I was excited about the concept of Helix, because I guess the isolation and where it was going, and then somewhere at the end Helix kind of got muddled, and now they're in Paris, or I don't even know what's Helix doing right now. But
you know, the fact that you even brought up Helix, I honestly couldn't figure out what you were talking about for a second there. I was like, is there a dude named Helix? I don't see the connection between those two shows, other than the fact that a virus is loose.
Yeah. They are on their own. Yeah. They had to go to like the Arctic or something.
That's true. Yeah. There was the Arctic action there.
And I don't know. It just kind of like reminded me, because I guess the viral outbreaks.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'll give you that. But
loose. Yeah. Okay, comparison to it, but I just love it feels so American swagger. I mean, even though everybody's on the show is kind of Canadian, but it does have an American swagger to it that I miss with the military show. Like, we don't have it, and though it's not a serious reality, like, I don't know, maybe NCIS or whatever, but because it has the viral thing and we may get zombies, I just love how it feels. Yes, I do like Captain Chandler. He has the chiseled jaw and he's just very commanding. And quite frankly, if they did a new Star Trek show, I think he should be the captain, because I would follow him. He's a captain, you know, he's a captain. And so he's pretty great. And I'm pretty excited about his character because he just feels right. And everybody feels right. And we got Adam Baldwin on this thing. We got the faux Kate Beckinsale.
How about that? Yeah, you're right. Dr. Rachel Scott. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
We went to Gitmo and we had a fight with Al-Qaeda on American soil over food. It was
and fuel. Don't forget, oil even in Gitmo is the cause.
So we, of course, the first casualty on the crew was a black man.
Don't even get me started on that again. I will champion you from this point on because you're my buddy, and this is going to make me stronger. Stronger, I say.
Yeah. So, I mean, he wasn't the first person to die, but he was the first, you know, like...
people that we knew, yeah. Yes. Mm.
So, it's a little disappointing. I want to do a database of that one of these days, like...
It'll be just like the Bacon, Kevin Bacon, 7 Degree. Every movie, that'll be the case. First dude. It's funny if it was the same actor, wouldn't it? If it was... Here's Tyrone Jackson... who's been shot in every episode since 1982. Yes, I remember when I was in Predator. Everybody thought Danny Glover was going to get it, but no.
Oh, my God. I saw it to be a website with a database or something like that. Maybe I dreamed it. I don't know. But right now, this show, we don't have anything really horror yet or unrealistic. It's all still pretty realistic because we haven't seen any people running around. The virus is still pretty realistic in that, you know, a lot of people have it. There's no U.S. They are out there on their own. They are trying to keep it together like Captain Janeway did with Voyager. So they're trying to keep the chain of command. And I love that everyone has name tags.
That's ridiculous.
I was like, every show should have this. I know who everyone is. We can remember their names.
All right, that is going to help fly a bit. Yes, true.
Oh, my God. So I got excited because I thought Carl would be super excited about this show, and because we lost The Last Resort, and he was so excited about The Last Resort. So, and this one had the extra edge of a viral outbreak. So I want to hear what you think.
Well, so I was very bitter about The Last Resort incident, and technically I find subs more interesting than destroyers. I was real reluctant going into the last ship because also, you know, Michael Bay is involved.
Yeah.
And he's not always known for his subtlety. I was very concerned about where things were going to go. I feared that there would perhaps be explosions right off with this show.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why I would have assumed that. But I was a little concerned. Bottom line is, despite my best efforts, I actually like this show. I do. It was actually a pretty solid mix between action, tension, and you're right about the casting. People look like who they ought to be in this. There's no getting used to the characters, even with poor Adam Baldwin. We joke about people getting typecast and everything, but he fits. There was no learning curve with his character. When he walked out there, you knew who he was on this show, and he is playing that guy, and he's doing just fine at that. So, he's doing just fine. So yeah,
he's been that guy since that astronaut show he used to be on. You remember that long time ago? It was this show. I forgot what it's called, but it was like on UPN or something, and he was an astronaut. It was like one of his first gigs back in like the 90s or something.
Astronaut? I should know this. Really?
You should. Man, it was such a good... I gotta find it. But okay, I'm sorry. Go back to what you're talking about.
Okay, so the first thing that really got me excited about the show was the solid mix of... People can act on this show. The sets are quality. I mean, you don't feel all bottled up or like it's one or two rooms that they're doing, or it's that campy stock footage where it's the free naval footage and they're trying to, you know, mix in the stuff to make it match that. You know, Michael Bay has a couple of bucks. And when you see scenes that make sense, those beautiful panoramic shots of the ship, but the scenes make sense where you see everybody out there for the naval funeral. You see everybody out there as they're disembarking or whatever to get to Gitmo. All of that stuff gives the series a broad feeling, a rich quality feeling. So you got enough action where it's not stupid and it's just happening. It actually made sense. You got the tension and the plausible peril of the world ending and the pandemic out there making it made sense that they're feeling so isolated. Halfway decent characters involved here, where people have their own unique personalities, their motivations make sense. And of course, good looking folks all around, men and women, is good looking cast. So it's definitely good. It's a good start here. So we've only seen what, two episodes so far. So hopefully it won't you know, jump the shark, but we'll see how it's going so far. So far, so good. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I was a little concerned because the second episode felt a little more Canadian than the first one, if that you know.
Well, that's where they're going with their sets. I'll let it go. I'll let it go.
Yeah,
But
because I mean, once that guy John Piper Ferguson showed up, I was like, oh,
yeah,
here we go,
that
that
was.
guy. So it start it's yeah, I can. I mean, I don't want to
That was.
sound anti-Canadian, but you know, we've seen that landscape so many times,
Well, look,
and
we just got to get used to their budgets. I will trade a set in Canada for some really good military scenes and battles. If we gotta skimp on location, I want that money made up for good naval shots, good battle scenes. Give me something that works. And so far so good. So far so good. People aren't doing stupid things. You know, when they were locked in that in the ward or whatever, trying to get out. That it was so easy to have made that campy or bad or to mess up the timing on that where it lost some momentum. But no, they had three different action lines going on. You had the Al Qaeda breaking out inside the storeroom. You had the guys in the hospital and their air things going out, and then you had the so-called British ship coming in into the harbor.
Yeah, oh
Going.
my
So you
God.
got all these different storylines going on at the same time that was putting the real pressure on what folks had to do. Oh, and by the way, oh, we also have gas that we can't turn off. Is that going to be a problem? The handle just broke off our gas. Are we going to be all right? So,
To add all of that, the Russians.
yeah. Now Russians come rolling up on the set. So, oh, and of course, the Russian spy that we've
Who's not
got.
obvious at
What
all.
are you talking about? I would not have been able to tell that shifty dude was up to no good from the start. Oh, I'm just looking for the air conditioner. Yeah, okay, dude, really? That knob is.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, he's always tipping around. Always tipping around. He's regulating folks. I've got a clipboard in this show as well, and you are not supposed to be here, sir. So, yeah. That was.
Yeah. So we'll see, but I really like the way the captain talks crap. Like in the first episode to Kate Beckinsale, she was talking and she was kind of going off, and she's like typical A type personality woman, doctor, blah blah. And of course she has to be because people wants to put her in a box or whatever, but she
No,
like going off.
nobody puts Rachel in a box, all
Stop.
right?
Just stop it. And then he was just like still talking. You know, and I was just like, whoa, number one. He like, you know, start counting down on her, and then just like, you know, I'll take a rain check on that spot of tea and a crumpet. And I was just like, woo, America, F yeah.
The man's got a big ship. He's got a big ship. So if you don't like it, get off the ship.
Yeah, so it's just I like I said, the show has the American swagger. It has the Stargate that I miss because he's kind of like Jack O'Neill, and he's not as funny as Jack O'Neill, but he kind of has the Jack O'Neill stamp of approval, you know?
I agree.
And I just miss a military show. I didn't know that I had that type of.
Come on, Stargate, of course.
I know, but
Stargate was nothing but,
well, it took me a while to love Stargate because when it first came out, and there was no more Star Trek, it was not the show that I wanted. It wasn't what I wanted. I wanted Star Trek, but I began to love Stargate for what it was and
Yes.
stopped trying to make it something else, except for SGU, which we'll not get into,
I don't even know. I'm
Jamil.
not talking about that.
And so I enjoy it. I love it.
Yep, it's fun. It's fun. It is so far explosions tactfully done, which makes me wonder exactly how involved is Michael Bay in this? Because I'm serious, if I'm enjoying it like this and I am seeing subtlety, I mean, not with the explosions, I'm sure he splurged on that, but really, the characters are well developed. The story makes sense. Stuff hangs together. This doesn't feel like Michael Bay to me. it just doesn't feel like Michael Bay to me. So he's probably maybe the producer giving him some cash and gave it to some kids that actually know how to do this.
I don't know. It doesn't feel like the gratuitous explosions of Michael Bay of, I don't know. Well, it's a good thing, but, you know, we still got a whole season. We don't know what's going to happen. So maybe we should just be patient. And
they could all be dead, and it's a ghost ship. That's why they call it Last Ship. And we'll find out at the end that they were all ghosts, and this all happened inside of a snow globe.
I hate you.
It could happen. You never know.
As a matter of fact, though, when I'm looking on IMDb and I'm looking at the cast, full cast and crew, and it's directed by, I don't see Michael Bay's name here. I don't really know where he fits in and how.
Well, I was hunting around for that too. I couldn't figure that out. So, but it's certainly not directed by Michael Bay. So there you go.
So I don't know what's. Let's see if I can.
Or at least, maybe directed.
He's a producer.
Yeah, producers. They're the ones that, you know, handle the money and tell other people what should and shouldn't be on the show. Yeah, but they're not direct.
One, two, three, four, six producers on this show.
Okay. But yeah, all right. Well,
we'll six see. Executive producers, two producers, and one associate producer. So, don't know what that means, but okay.
Yeah, they're doing all right so far.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, so that's so. I don't know what is gonna happen to it. I'm excited. I don't know why Stephanie hasn't called me screaming about this because it's.
Well, it's because there aren't sufficient casualties and undead yet. For her, it's got to have the gore factor for it, or it's just not really appropriate. So when people start getting up off the deck, the trolley or whatever after being dead, or they pull into a harbor that's nothing but zombies, then she'll be on. But until then, it's just another show.
She's gonna kill you.
But then she'll like me more. So it'd be like,
that's fine. So we do have a lot of shows that we're gonna be reviewing. Like I said, the statistics troubles are over.
And she's free, y'all. She's free.
We will not be reviewing Heroes Reborn.
Hardly wait for that. Cause after all, you know. Eccleston's coming back. Loves it.
I can't even. Because I want to watch The Leftovers.
Okay.
But it's depressing. Like, that's supposed to be like a little sci-fi-ish. It's BBC, but I don't know if I can handle depressing and Christopher Eccleston and something's going on with his hairline and he's getting a little chunky, so...
He'll be invisible for most of this show. Don't worry about it.
I don't know. So, you know, we'll let you know. We'll try to get these shows out faster and be better for you listeners. So, yay! Any last thoughts on either of these shows, Carl?
I enjoy The Last Ship. I hope it will do better. I will continue to watch Under the Dome and hope that it will do better.
Okay. All right. So that's our show, guys. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call, 773-336-2686. We have a website. That is scifipartyline.com, where you can leave a message for us there. It's really easy. You can just use your Facebook login. Speaking of Facebook, we do have a page. We're on Twitter and Google+ and Stitcher Radio. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
End of line.